How many people here have prescribed yin care before in clinic? Has anyone, how about, heard about it? Okay, so what is it for? What do we normally use it for? Just anybody?
Damp heat.
Like damp heat of what?
Lower jaw.
Lower jaw? It's an external thing, right? We don't drink this stuff.
Yeast infection.
Yeah, right. Totally. It's been yin care. Which goes by the name in China. I'm sorry, I can't use this board, so kind of just follow me this way. The name in China is Jia R Yin Shi. It means to cleanse or purify your yin wash liquid. Okay, so it translates really bad into English. Took us 2 years to figure out yin care as a name, as a nice, smooth translation. So if you're in China doing rounds, you're going to see this stuff in the pharmacy as Jia R Yin Shi Ye. And on this handout, you know, there are a couple of handouts I really like to give. And before everyone leaves, I want to get your email address, because that's such a pain in the ass to carry around paper all the time. So I'm just going to email you documents. Like, I have a big, big document that's like all the clinical case studies that we've translated from Chinese into English. I used to haul that stuff around. I have a separate box for paper. So before you split, we'll have like a board. Like, put in your email address, and I'll just give you the PDF. Then if you want to print it and have it in the real world, you can print it and have it in the real world. That's actually a very, very good bit of information. Because Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll get there in a second. But no one leaves without giving me their email so I can get that to them. Secondly, the other document that I don't have actually has the Chinese jiar yin xie. So clean your yin wash liquid. When we first started this project back in 1999, I thought there's no way in hell I'm going to call it that. You know, and most people studying Chinese medicine don't speak Chinese quite yet. So yin care is kind of what we came up with. And the idea for the name in China was because yin was kind of a catchphrase. It meant like yin, like female. It also means like yin, like genitalia. And it also means like yin, like turbidity. So the yin is being used in many ways in the name. And for those of you that don't know it, it's a big formula. Like 150 million bottles a year are dispensed in hospitals in China. So it's not like, it would be equal to something like Yunnan Baiyao. You know, like Yunnan Baiyao as a company is traded on the Shanghai Stock Exchange. And the company that manufactures this stuff also is a publicly traded company. So it's kind of like one of the few medicinals that are purely herbal based that have made it into the Western medical system of Chinese socialized medicine. So before we get too deep into it, I want to talk about how I found it. Because I actually did find this stuff. I graduated from Chinese medical school in 1997 and had been studying Chinese language and had some patients that were from mainland China. And one in particular, it was a gal from the Yunnan area. And it was one of those kind of like, you know, rookie things. Because I got started in this when I was only 23. I'm 44 now. And I had a lot of luck treating this Chinese woman. Like, she was very impressed, like, oh, it's better treatments than I get in China. I was like, well, of course, I'm very skilled. I'm like, what? I don't know what the fuck I just did. I just kind of followed the book, you know, kind of thing. So she said, she was teaching Chinese language at CU, kind of like in Colorado where I'm from, the UC campus is CU, Colorado University, and they have two campuses, one in Boulder and one in Denver. She was teaching Chinese in Chinese language in that Denver campus. And so she said, hey, you know, when you get a chance to come to China, why don't you just pay a visit to Yunnan? I have relatives that work at the Yunnan Biofactory. Are you interested? I was like, yeah, it's like the Coca-Cola of herbs. You know, I want to check that stuff out. So my first trip to China, I took a very, very slow train to Yunnan and made my way to Kunming, which is the capital of that province, and met her. And I was super, super stoked. She's married to an American dude that lived out there. And I was really stoked to kind of like jump in, practice my language skills, and like get a taste of patent medicines in China. Mind you, prior to that, like a school, I ran the pharmacy in a school like this for 2 years in Colorado, the Chinese medical school there. So I knew patents really well, and I was kind of a hobby of mine, just learning as much about patent medicine as I could. So I'm really, really, really excited, and we're in a cab on our way to the Yunnan Biofactory, and super spastic. It was raining outside, and I said, like, hey, you know, besides Yunnan Biao, what other types of patent medicines do you Chinese people hold as, like, your highest favorite? And she's listing off a few, and then she says, Jiaryin Xie. I'm like, wow, that's weird. I never heard of that medicine before. And she's like, you haven't? You call yourself a doctor? I was like, okay, low blow. I just got here. Give me a few days to learn a few things. And so I thought, when I get out of this tour, this factory tour of the Baiyao factory, I'm going to look this stuff up. So I'm in, for those of you who are... sorry. You know, China's kind of like a chicken. I'm not a very good drawer, so bear with me. China's kind of like a chicken shape, you know, and then we have big mountains here. And then Hong Kong's down here, Beijing's up here, and the Sichuan province is here, and the Yunnan province is here, right? So consider the West. These are very tall mountains. Tibet's up here. And I'm in this area. It's like equal to Hawaii, like the line of latitudes like Hawaii, but as high as Denver. So I was kind of interested in the place because there's not a lot of Chinese medicine at altitude, because I live at altitude. Although it's like really perpetually spring here, so it doesn't really match kind of Colorado's weather. So I was here, and I find out that the Jiaryin Xie Yin Care comes from this region. And I thought, well, I just have to catch a plane and like go north to Chengdu. So the capital city of Sichuan means four Chuan rivers, right? So it's an area where lots of water come off of these mountains here. A lot of water, and kind of feed out into China. And so a lot of Chinese medicine comes from these mountains here. A ton of stuff that we use in the clinic here. And so I find myself up in this area. I had actually stopped in Hong Kong on my way in and picked up some new suits because they were really cheap. You can get like a really good suit, at least back in 1999. I could get like a full-on awesome wool suit for $99. And so I had really nice clothes that had never been worn. And so I find myself in this region, not really, I'm just kind of like looking for adventure in a way. And I find out, well, I'm just going to go to the factory and see what this stuff is. So I throw on one of these new wool suits, catch a cab, say, take me to the company that manufactures Jiaryin. They're like, what? And mind you, it's summer. It's like 95 degrees outside and like 95% humidity. I've got a wool suit that's good for Denver weather on. And I'm the only white guy in town. So I find my way to, I don't know what I was expecting to see. Because I didn't think of herbs as being like as big as like IBM or something like that. But when I got there's this huge building. Very, very modern. Like Silicon Valley, like. 7 stories tall, very modern, guard gates. You can't get in without like an invite. And I'm at this gate saying like, look, I'm not from around here. And I've come a long way and I'd like to just go in and learn about what is this Jiaryin stuff. And the guard's just completely baffled, like looking at manuals, like what to do. What do you do when white guy with suit on sweating like a pig comes to the gate and wants to come in. He's probably a spy or something like that, right? So long story short, they slowly work my way in up this building to the top floor. And I'm in this huge meeting, like a massive table, like as long as this room. And there are some guys down there, a couple guys in the middle, and I'm all the way at the end. And they're like, who are you and what do you want? I'm like, I'm just a Chinese medical guy. I know I don't look Chinese, but I know what I'm talking about. I just want to learn about this stuff. And we hit it off really well. And this is pre-9/11, so I just gave me a box of this stuff to take back to America. I went right through customs with it. Like, it had, like, rope on it. Like, it could have been a dead chicken in there, you know? And I brought it back to America after that meeting, and I gave 10 bottles to 10 doctors that had been, at that time, practicing more than 15 years. They said, take this stuff. I'm not sure what it does. They use it on gynecology, and they use it on skin stuff. This is what I think is in it. There could be drugs in it. I don't know. But I want to get some feedback from doctors that I trust. And on that Hong Kong trip, I was actually in Hong Kong at some lectures, and I met the director of the USC School of Pharmacy, Dr. Roger Clemens. And we had a hamburger in downtown Hong Kong, just trying to get some normal food, and hit it off. And I said, look, if I ever come into something, we should stay in contact with each other. And I ran into this GRN stuff, and I called him from China and said, hey, when I come back through L.A., can I bring you some stuff to the University of Southern California and have tests run on it? I want to see if there's drugs in it or if there's impurities and stuff like that. He said, sure, yeah, bring it by. So on my way back with those 10 bottles, I had given the university 3 different bottles, one from the factory, one from a hospital, and one from a corner drugstore, labeled 1, 2, and 3, and they didn't know what it was. And I was kind of hoping that it wasn't going to be very good because I wanted to get back to just being kind of studying and learning Chinese medicine. And it came back that the stuff is just phenomenal, like totally clean, well put together. And myself and my group at the time, which I put together, I thought, you know, you guys, we got to bring this to the U.S. This is really big, and we should get it out. But let's kind of bring it in a way where we get it through schools, where people learn about it, and we don't just sell it over the counter. And that's kind of been our model for the last 15 years. Okay, any questions? It's a pretty kick-ass story. That was me doing that stuff. It was pretty awesome. So when I came back to the States, we had to figure out a name, you know. And I also wanted to understand the history. So subsequently, I ended up spending a lot of time in China. I would go back and stay and actually work in the factory just to get a sense of like where they get the herbs. I mean, at that time, the big thing with Chinese medicine was, you know, the herbs are not clean. And there are some bad patents that came over, you know, from parts of China that were poorly regulated. And I wanted to make sure that this material and the herbs that were being used were very high quality. And I wanted to be able to assure doctors and budding doctors that it was something safe to use. So I spent a lot of time over there. I've lived in Shanghai for bunches of time. And I want to share a little bit of my experiences there. Now, the medicine, I said the medicine, they sell upwards of 150 million bottles a year, something like that. So in order to make sure that it's being manufactured over the years, and this medicine's been produced since the mid-70s, they had to procure their own herbs, or at least make sure that they would have access to herbs, as well as control of the price of the product in a way. So, which leads me to think about the owner of the company. Now, prior to 1975, there was a man, Shui Yongxin, who was a student. He was a Taoist student, kind of a budding entrepreneur, but studying Taoism with a man named Li Zhenguo. And Li Zhenguo is a famous Taoist man, I'm told, from the Sichuan area. He's kind of known for traveling all outside of the Sichuan borders and treating people for free with Chinese medicine by foot. He's from a sect of Taoists that are from a mountain called a Qingchengshan, and you can still go there. It's a wonderful place outside of Chengdu. They say one of the birthplaces of Taoism, and I'm sure the illustrious owners of this fine educational institution have been there. So this Li Zhenguo from Qingchengshan had a group of students. And when he died, I guess I'm told one of the things they do is give gifts you know, to humanity. And one of the gifts was the formula, this Jerry Yin formula. It was a formula they used on Qingchengshan to bathe their body 4 times a year in between seasons. So like right now, before we hit November 7th, we're in the transitional month from fall to winter, right? And that's when everyone gets sick, when we're in that earth stage in the five elements. So it was customary to gather these herbs from the Qingchengshan area, bathe in them to protect from being invaded by an external pathogenic factor. So the student Shui Yongxin was given the task of getting this formula out. So I think he decided not just to get it out, but to turn it into a company. Because I guess the great Taoist didn't say you couldn't turn a business into it. So he began brewing this in the town Shuangliu. When you fly into Chengdu, the international airport's in Shuangliu. And so he's from that city. And so he just got a cauldron and started cooking this up and selling it in bottles. And from 1975 up until 1985, it grew spectacularly and became very popular. By the mid-80s, they had to create buildings to produce it and secure making herbs. And the popularity of the formula had reached Beijing and the surrounding coastal cities by the late 80s, early 90s, at which time the government of China offered this company monies to have university hospitals do testing on it. So there were some 84 different universities that conducted examinations. I've read through all of the abstracts. About a third of them are pretty good. Two-thirds of them suck. They're kind of useless. Those are the ones that are in that handout that I want to give you, the ones that we've translated that were good, that discussed how the stuff's applied. Now, the most important thing that happened that made this formula popular, because up until that time, it was something that was used for gynecology, but a lot for skin. And you can imagine what skin types of problems they have in a place like Chengdu. It's a little bit like the humidity of like Florida with Colorado mountains. So it gets sucked in. I mean, I've flown into there at least 50 times. I've only seen the tarmac like 3 times because there's always fog. And it's hot fog because it's moist. And so they can get pretty yucky, really terrible mosquitoes and bugs too. They really like white guys. I think they like this white meat because we're going to have a bunch of guys in a room. I'm the guy with like 100 bites and all the Chinese dudes are totally free of bites, you know. So it's not funny. They're really bad. I thought, well, this formula is really good for mosquito bites, by the way. So one of the university hospitals, it was a gynecology hospital, and they wanted to find out how dilute they could make this formula before it stopped working as an antipathologic. So they knew at full strength it was killing trichomonas, bacterial vaginosis, fungus, so on and so forth, candida albicans. And when they were diluting it, they would get to 20% with 80% water. The formula would still lyse or destroy the cell walls of these pathogens in a petri dish. When they get to 15%, it's still lysing the cell walls. When they get to 12.5%, they start noticing that the certain bacteria, like lactobacilli, which are naturally occurring bacteria in the vaginal cavity, the cell walls aren't lysing, but the other pathological forms are. And when they get to 10%, the healthy bacteria, lactobacilli, start to take over the petri dish, and the other pathogenic bacteria, yeast and fungus, die off. So this gets published and becomes really, really important for gynecologists. Because they now, in a very, very busy Western medical hospital where you could see in a waiting room 65 people in line, which is scary if you're working there actually, because you're trying to figure out like how am I going to get to lunch with this load of people waiting. And in a gynecology hospital, we might have 20% of those cases that are dealing with some kind of damp heat, toxic heat, vaginal problem. And Western medical doctors, they don't think like Chinese medical doctors. They're just thinking in terms of, I need a lab, I need to figure out what the pathogen is, I need to kill it. So that's Western medicine for any type of vaginal problem, basically. So all of a sudden they have something that they could prescribe indiscriminately without damaging the internal vaginal flora. So a retarded Western medical doctor could completely just choose to give them a course of yin care and dispense with probably 80% of the cases and not running labs because it just saved a socialized medical system money and dispense with a lot of patients. So in 1991, this becomes published, and by 1992, it's allowed to go into Western medical hospitals, and it just takes off, which is why I had never heard of it. It wasn't something that ever made its way to the U.S., because at that time, I was starting to break into Chinese medicine. I'd never heard of the stuff, and it never made its way to Taiwan. So, like, which was interesting. I didn't find out that till later. I was, you know, coming to schools to teach, and, like, at Emperor's College, Christine Chang is from Taiwan. She's like, I never heard of this. And she's a very outspoken woman. pretty straightforward. She's like, how come I've never heard of this? What's this going on? Who are you? What are you? 5 minutes later, well, this stuff's fantastic. We should carry it here. You know, it's like that. I never heard of it. And the characters on the bottle are, of course, simplified. And so in Taiwan, they don't simplify characters. They're classical. So she said, you should change the packaging. Put the traditional characters back on there. I'm like, okay, well, they're kind of a big company. I don't know if they're going to listen to you. So nonetheless, I happened upon it in 99, you know, and 15 years later, it's here for you guys. The formula, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to, like, not stop too much. I'm just going to keep rambling until we get to the end of my hour, okay? The formula, I want to talk a little bit about where these herbs come from. Now, this Shui Yong Xin fellow is really interesting because he's not a guy that went to business school, but he found himself now with something that's, like, really hot. And his background, he's a Buddhist who was practicing Taoism, and all of a sudden he's rich, like very rich. And so a lot of land in the Sichuan area was converted to corn cropping back in the 50s, 60s, and early 70s. So huge swaths of mountains were just for corn. And because they had to feed everybody. And so all of a sudden the need for these 14 herbs that are in this formula is very high, and making sure that he has some level of control over it. So the profits that are coming in to this company for this formula are being turned around to buy up lands. And I didn't know this, but when I started going out, I wanted to go to they call it plant-based. I remember the first time I said, I want to go to a plant-based. I want to see where the herbs grow. No, you don't want to do that. Yeah, no, I really do. I want to go to the plant-based. Like, I want to go outside and see how things are in the real world, not just this laboratory kind of place. So no, it's really dangerous. You could die, and you're a little fat. I don't think you'll handle the hike. I was like, oh my God, you're so forward. I'm going, you know? So I went. I remember the first one I went to. When they say plant-based, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, far out of town, a large field with a John Deere tractor, you know, like harvesting stuff. Okay, no. Not like that at all. Nothing grows on a farm there. These things are like way up in the freaking mountains. It's like two and a half hour drive out of Chengdu, 3 hour hike, and they're right. It's like really treacherous. Like a couple of times I could have slipped and like fallen down a crevasse or something. I was just like, and it was really hard. It was a hard hike, and there are poisonous snakes everywhere, which they failed to tell me about. And they're like, well, it's a good thing it's raining today. I'm like, it doesn't seem like a good thing. It's really muddy. They're like, well, the snakes don't like it. And I was just like, oh, my God. Okay, you guys just stay around me. I'm not into snakes or spiders, you know, unless we're using them in medicine. So I thought, because I took photos, of course. I don't have any to share with you right now, but I really wanted to see, like, what's this, like, what are they using, pesticides, herbicides? This comes up a lot when I'm lecturing. And I thought, no one in their right mind, well, first of all, you couldn't get a truck up here to get, like, a bag of fertilizer, you know. And pesticides, like, forget about it. This stuff is wild crap, like wild harvested. And what I saw was, I remember walking deep into this forest, and it was like Romancing the Stone, very Costa Rica-like, like misty, mountainous. And we pass, I'm like, well, are we there yet? And they're like, oh, you know. Oh, yeah, here. And they pull some brush away, and there's a stick with like a red, neon, orange color. Our plant base starts here. So I'm like, well, it looks just like the other jungle stuff, you know. I'm like, well, how big is it? And then he's just like, okay, counting mountain peaks, like 1, 2, 3. Third mountain peak, it ends over there, kind of thing. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. And then they're growing like Huangbai, Huanglian, Huobo, all these herbs that are in there, and some herbs that aren't in the formula. And what I saw was a whole like stretches of mountain that was just torn apart, where at once, you could tell that it was just cut down. Trees were cut so they could plant corn on tiers, like tiered corn stuff. And what they did is they had this, like, in order to grow coptis, you need to have a doujong tree that covers a huangbai tree that creates shade for another bush that allows for coptis to grow, right? So, and I'm like, wow, okay, so that's going to take a while because there's no trees anywhere because, you know, we're on this area where they purchased land. And so whole stretches of area would have this mesh where they're planting trees. So they're basically reforesting in order to have another tree that another tree can come. And it's like a 20-year project, right? Well, this is what's going on in China right now. It's pretty remarkable to see. And people that work the land are living in, like 80 people live in a log cabin with a water generator. There's no electricity, so they just have like something you can put in a stream and it makes electricity. And I thought, man, people got to know about this. This is really clean harvesting of herbs. It's just rainwater, you know, and bugs. So rest assured, I mean, we get a bad rap sometimes about the herbs that come out of China. My experience has been very positive, at least as it relates to what I've seen. Very, very positive. The tea is pretty good there, too. So those herbs are harvested and then carried off the mountain on people's backs and then onto trucks, and then they truck it over to the company. Now they build a facility that looks a lot like the brewery in Golden, Colorado, where they brew Coors beer. It's kind of, if you've ever been to Colorado, you get a free couple, three beers there for free if you go on the tour, which is worth the tour, actually. But it was interesting, the way they brew beer and how we brew herbs, very similar. And so the facility built just for making yin care. And so the herbs are carried into this factory and then brought up to the top of a 4 or 5-story building where they're checked. And another interesting thing too, like 1 year, huangbai, and the active ingredient in huangbai for this formula that's a standard for measuring its efficiency, is berberine hydrochloride. So berberine hydrochloride is an active ingredient that you're going to find in huanglian, huangbai, huangqin, all the yellows. And also there's a Western herb too that has berberine in it. But it's basically a very, very remarkable antibiotic. But based on how much waterfall and sunlight that comes down hits it, we're going to see different berberine levels. So this formula has to be manufactured in a way where a specific standard of berberine hydrochloride and other active ingredients in specific herbs like in shitong, the snitiforum, they have to show that, like a drug, that a certain level has been met. So if a Western doctor is prescribing yin care for a case, that there's enough of it in there, and it has to be documented just like a drug company. So in order to do that, they have to check the active ingredients before they put the batches together to manufacture these put the medicines down a chute where they then go into a soaking tank. And this massive soaking tank, which is about what we're at right now and all the way to the bottom, to the street level. So we'd be up here and there'd be the top of the tank and it goes way on down where we could, like, the dregs of the stuff could fall out and we could put it into a truck. They let the herbs sit in there for 2 hours, just sit in the water with no heat, just like we would if we were making a traditional tea. After 2 hours, heat is brought onto this bin and the herbs are cooked for 2 hours, and steam distillation allows for all of the essential oils of the 14 herbs that are in this formula to be captured. So the first couple hours of cooking is all for steam distillation. So inside yin care, or jiaryin, is the water extracted parts, just like we were going to make a tea, and all the essential oil parts bound together with an emulsifier made from coconut oil. So like if someone, I've had patients say like, well, I'm going to use tea tree oil. And I'm like, look, man, just use this yin care. It's got like 14 tea tree things in it. You don't just, tea tree oil by itself is very, it's a very rude way of prescribing an herb. It's just all by itself. And it's rather toxic by itself. You have to really match the pathology. When you're using yin care, you can control how you're applying it. You can dilute it or use it at full strength. You have the oils there with the water extracted parts. You can make creams out of it. So since finding it, tea tree oils, I don't even use it in my office anymore. It's unnecessary. But so then the water parts are collected, and then everything leaves that bin and goes into a cooling bin. Now, the cooling bin is where they'll put in the emulsifier, add the oils back in, and then it goes to a bottling room. Thank you, Matt. It goes to a bottling room, which then allows for, you know, the stuff that's locally put in our bottles. Now, these bottles are different than what you're going to see in China. In China, they have a fancy Head and Shoulders looking like bottle because it's big. They have commercials for it on television. It's, you know, and We wanted more of a clinical bottle. These little cubes fit into your onto your clinical shelves very easily, like a patent. Doesn't take up a lot of space, but it maximizes the volume, and it has three languages on it. So we have French, Spanish, and English for North America, basically. Another very interesting thing, too, about North America, Jiayin or Yincare, and China. Now, when I started working with them in 99, 2000, 2001, I really, really wanted a version of this that didn't have a fragrance. Now, as soon as this formula got popular with doctors, the first thing they said back to the company was, hey, we don't like the smell. It smells like herbs. So like, well, oddly, it is herbs, you know. Like, well, could you do something to make that smell a little bit better? And because they were the biggest buyers in China, they went to a company in Japan, Takasago, which is a masterful global company on fragrancing and pharmaceutical fragrancing and drug fragrancing. And so we have two types. Now, it took me 5 years to talk them into making a version of this that is without fragrance. So like, what was that, like 2007, I think, is when we finally got a version. And it's not in China. In China, you only get it as this and that fancy Head and Shoulders-like bottle. In the U.S., you have an option for fragrance, which actually everyone likes for gynecological use. The fragrance is mild. In my 15 years of working with this, I've never seen a reaction to it. I just felt like Americans really would want a non-fragrance version. And I think this is better for skin. So in my office in China, all the Chinese people want to buy this one from me because they think it's better because it has no... They say they'll use it because, I mean, I have samples in my office. And my colleagues, I just let them take free ones, you know. They'll say, it's a weird thing. The one that goes to America works better than the Chinese one. I'm like, why do you say that? It's exactly the same thing. It's like, it smells like Chinese herbs. It must be better. So, but they still won't manufacture it for China this way. So you guys have options. This one's called Original, and Classic is pre-fragrance version. And the colors are pink and red. And it took forever to do this, so take advantage of it. I can't believe they actually acquiesced to my request. Remarkable. It was very persistent. Very, very persistent. So we do testing on it. Once we get it ready for export, we have tests conducted there and tests conducted here. So when it comes into the U.S., as an herbal wash. This is sold as an herbal wash in North America, right? It's a very, very potent herbal wash, but it's an herbal wash. Let's see. Let me stop for a second. Questions? And I want to get some water. Up till now, any questions?
So yeah? What else can you use it for besides like vaginally?
I'll bust out in that a second. We'll cover that as much as I can.
Just to make clear, the fragrance is from the herbs, not...
Yeah, like if you smell the fragrance-free one, this smells like herbs. And then this one here, they add something to make it smell a little bit like soap.
Okay, so
it's odd. Yeah, if you ever open this one, you smell it. It smells like herbs because they don't really fragrance it to be like Giorgio.
Yeah.
You know, it's like fragrance to be like, wow, it smells really clean. There is, yeah. In this one here, they use something because the Western doctors were like, look. Now, the thing is, when you dilute this down, like in general, the stuff's being used at 10%, right? It's almost never being used at full strength. That is very strong. So remember, 10% is what they found was effective for gynecological application without harming healthy bacteria or creating any disruption to the environment, to the vaginal cavity. Not to say you can't. You know, as a clinician, you may choose you want to use 50% because you have a very strong problem going on, and we'll talk about that in a second. So when you dilute it down, when you dilute this one down that doesn't have fragrance to 10%, which is, this is very, very dilute. It's mostly water, right? It's amazing that it's actually effectual at that percentage. It smells a little bit like an ashtray. The herbs smell a little, and I understand what the Western doctors were thinking. They were like, basically, being very dictatorial to patients, saying, you're going to use this for a week. And the patient's like, these aren't Chinese people that go to Chinese hospitals. They have choices there. They were going to a Western hospital expecting to get Western medicine, and they got this. And they're like, this smells like an ashtray, and I put it in my vagina. Not into that. So they're getting complaints. So they run off to Japan and say, make us something where we don't get that complaint. So when you dilute this one down to 10%, smells clean. It's totally, I want to tell you, like, I'm the one that actually prompted having this guy made and available. And I have had no hesitation to prescribe this one for anything because I've never run into problems. I just know in North America, the people, I mean, I'm 44, so I grew up in the 70s, right? Birkenstock, I grew up in the Bay Area, like Santa Cruz area, right? All my teachers wore Birkenstocks. they're not going to accept something that's fragranced. So I just wanted to make sure that people that had options, yeah. But I wouldn't sweat it. I wouldn't sweat it. And if you do, just always get this one. Always get this one. Okay, so I want to quick, yeah, go ahead.
Question about ingredients. Do you share any traditional ingredients from the old pattern or
you? Oh, say that again?
For the ingredients,
yeah.
Indian care, do you change?
Same.
Exactly.
It's exactly the same as the formula in China.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't changed. Actually, I wasn't even privy to the formula for two and a half years. I'm like, you guys, it took that long to actually get it exported. I'm like, I can't bring this to North America if I don't know the formula. I have to submit it to the FDA. They're like, well, it's a secret. I'm like, just don't tell us the percentages. It's not a secret. Li Zhengguo died. You're supposed to share the damn thing. You don't get to keep it. You know what I mean? Like, share it. So, like, you get to see all the herbs, you know, clearly on the back. It's exactly the same. But you won't see all these on the formula in China. You know, they won't have them listed. They don't have to. They list, like, five of them, you know.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what the formula is.
Yeah, like in Asia, if you put all ingredients...
Oh, someone will copy it. And here's the thing. In the way they protect themselves from that, I'm going to be very candid about it because I'm just like you guys. I'm from here, and it was my experience going over there. That fragrance is what's protected. Like the fragrance they use, which is why they won't do an original there. No one can copy that fragrance, and everyone knows. You smell Jiayin, it's like smelling Coca-Cola. You just know. You can tell if you drink a Pepsi, it's not Coke. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And you can tell anyone trying to rip off this company. Now, this company is so powerful now. They've diversified into drug manufacturing, land. They rebuild temples. The guy is such a philanthropist. He's rebuilding temples all over China that were like left to be, you know, they were in ruin, completely in ruin. And the way he did it to get get help from the government was he puts up a hotel and a restaurant next to it. It's like no. We're putting up a hotel. It's for the benefit, you know. But meanwhile, in the back of that temple, they're now doing Taoism old school. You know what I mean? And that's how he's able to actually facilitate it. So the company's growing and building things, and then they can go ahead and fix up temples, which is kind of neat. There's some really neat temples that are being fixed up. Okay, so function. I'm going to just rip through gynecology really quick because there are a couple key things we want to talk about. One, any type of damp heat discharge. Now, in gynecology, I want to hit on something here. This is normally a little bit more interactive, but I'm just going to tell you. Like we have, right, damp heat. Damp heat, toxic heat. I mean, these are easy. Dampness is just a discharge, right? Like any type of daishia means a dye dysregulation discharge. And then damp heat means dampness now is taking on a heat condition, right? It means it's been there long enough where now it's getting hot. This generally is yeast. This generally is bacteria. Then we get to toxic heat. Well, what is that? What's a toxic heat condition? HPV? Cervical dysplasia? Precancerous conditions? That means this is now moving into this, now is moving into this. Then we have organ pathologies, right? There's like spleen qi deficiency. And we got liver overacting on the spleen, right? What else? There's more.
Yeah.
Everyone gets this. Like, this is really easy. This is like the whole food version of discharge. Yeah, like, this is all like what you're... This is monostat and, like, antibiotics and Metrogel and... this is all, like, Western medical stuff and everything. Everyone at Whole Foods that works in the vitamin area, they're trying to prescribe something for this. But we have a couple things in Chinese medicine that they never consider, which is kidney yin deficiency and kidney yang, right? Like, we can have these conditions, too, that lead to... We can have these conditions that lead to these types of discharges, most notably the kidney yang deficiency. So, if we're having dampness, yeah, yin care is good for that. Now, is dampness coming from deficiency or is dampness coming from dampness? I could have deficiency or I could have, I got into a hot tub, you know, and woke up the next day and I've got some dampness. That can happen, right? So external excess pathogen, internal deficiency leading to an leading to some excess, you know. So we have these interior, exterior things. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going fast. Stick with me. If it doesn't make sense, raise your hand. And I want to cover this because this one shows up all the time. Like people will say, like, what does yin care treat? Well, yin care will treat dampness. It treats it if it's an external problem. But if it's an internal problem, damn it, you got to prescribe something for this while you're treating the exterior, right? Because it's just going to come back if this deficiency is here. Or if they have stress leading to this deficiency, you can use a topical like yin care to manage it, but you have to still deal with this part. Now, everyone misses this guy. And this guy comes up sometimes. And that's when, metabolically speaking, the patient has kidney yang deficiency. They are not... What happens when a woman gets to mid-cycle? Like, there's an interesting physiological phenomena that happens at ovulation to a woman. She heats up, right? They warm. You can check the body temperature. That's why you know they ovulated. They can get a 0.4 to a whole point increase in their basal body temperature. So in this kind of circulating 28-day cycle, 1, 7, 14, 21, 28 days, this first half is yin in blood. And then right here, we have an increase in body temperature when we go to yang, and this is qi. So we have blood, yin, yang, qi, blood, yin, yang, qi, circulating every 28 days. Discharge of blood, increase in yin, which is estradiol, and then luteinizing hormones released here, and then there's a shift where the body temperature goes up, fertility is really great around this time. If we're not seeing this raise in temperature here, there's a yang deficiency. And if yang is weak, right here on day 15, like all the way to like day 18, we can get a discharge. And it gets diagnosed all the time as a yeast infection. Like anything that's like a discharge or even like an itch, actually. Like physicians and patients just say, I have a yeast infection. You always clarify that with your patient because they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Some people, I have a yeast infection, it's just itchy. I have a yeast infection, it's no yeast. If you do a biopsy or a culture, you don't see any yeast there. This is water, this is non-metabolized fluids in the body because there's yang deficiency, where yang is supposed to go up, it metabolizes fluids up, and it doesn't happen, so it goes down, clogs, and exits as a discharge. Is yin care good for that?
Yes.
If that discharge gets infected, for example, if I have a glass of water and I leave it on the windowsill, come back in 3 days, I'm going to have yeast in it. But that discharge is not pathological. That discharge is just fluid. And it will stop right around here. And if it happens every month, before you know it, they have it all month long. So, like, someone will say, well, you know, I've been using yin care on her, and I just can't get the discharge to stop. I'm like, okay, check her thyroid, you know, check her metabolism. This is a probably yang deficient person. Maybe she was using progesterone pills like birth control. So you've got to watch out for that one. Yin care is helpful because if that material gets easily a carrier for some type of pathogen, it'll deal with the pathogen, but it can't make that discharge go away. Does that make sense? This is very common. If you like get one thing from this lecture, you better get two things. Yin care kicks ass. And number two, that this comes up all the time with people using birth control pills because they're taking progesterone all the time. And it's like using fire with fire. You get double fire, it knocks them down. Oftentimes, they're put on birth control pills because they have yang deficiency. The Western doctor's like, well, just give them more yang. They don't say give them. They think, well, just give them progesterone. You know, kind of thing. Okay. So the next step of things we can use yin care on are the toxic heat things that are on the cervix. So instead of using your 10%, this is when the doctor starts to go, wait a second, I have a toxic heat condition on the cervix. You can compress that while you're giving internal medicine. And this stuff rules for that. It's the best thing going, where you can use a tampon as a compressing agent, stick it about 20-25% out of the applicator, do two parts yin care. This is in the handout if you leave your email. Two parts yin care, one part water. Just put the tampon in there, it swells the tip, and the rest pour in the back. They put it in before they go to bed, they leave it in overnight, and they wear that until they wake up, whether they're sleeping 5 or 8 hours, doesn't matter. In the morning, they take it out. 7 to 10 days is a course of treatment. You want to do 3 to 4 courses before you send them back for a pap smear. So I like to do it like this. Period. Stop. So I go right up to ovulation. That's either going to be probably 10 days, depending on 7 to 10 days, depending on how long her period is. Then I stop at ovulation, and I pick it up like right around here, and I'll go like 10 days right down to here, and I take a break. So I'll do a first half, 7 to 10, a second half, 7 to 10, and then go 2 cycles, send them back for a pap smear. Always works. I'm serious. Never had a case fail. So easy to treat toxic heat conditions. Your internal medicine needs to be good too, because you're going to have complications with that. Yeah.
What's about the UTIs?
Well, the only thing I think yin care is good for a UTI is when the UTI is all the way down near the ureter. So for example, if they have a real UTI that's like just below the kidney and in the bladder, right? Then I'll treat the UTI. I have some standard protocols I like Lungdan Xiegan Tang, Huanglian Jiedu Tang, Bajong San. I like to mix those together.
Is that chronic?
Chronic, you got to be careful with chronic diseases like that. Because you're either dealing with, it could be a kidney insufficiency, which is an autoimmune condition, cystitis, to that organ. But the yin care would only be helpful for if you want to put it on a little compress and put it right up near the ureter, like at the end of a tail end of like a 7 to 10 day course of urinary tract infection medicine for me.
10 days.
It depends on the case. You know, sometimes they clear up in 3 days, sometimes it's a 10-day course, depending on the severity of it. I'm not talking about this gal with the chronic thing, because that's tricky, but fun to treat. So at the very tail end, I can start cutting back on my internal medicine because the pain is just at the tail end of urination, which means the bacteria now or the damp heat is now near the end of the ureter, and I can just put a compress right up in there and kill it in a night or two. So I don't have to constantly like give all those heavy cold medicines. So I use yin care that way for UTI. But other than that, you're not going to get it up into their bladder, you know.
Yeah,
that'd be very tough, yeah. Very tough. This long-term thing, you know, if we had more time, we could go into it in depth because I like treating those a lot. Yeah?
This 7 to 10 days for 2 cycles was for cervical dysplasia?
This is for, toxic heat of the cervix. Now, it's going to be dysplasia, erosion. What else is tough? HPV, you know?
2 cycles.
Yeah, it's going to, this is what usually happens. Patient comes in, says, I just had my pap smear. It doesn't look good. I'm stage 1, 2, or 3, wherever they're at, 1, 2, 2.5. And I also showed HPV, whatever. Everyone's a little different. Enough time's passed. A physician's going to want to follow up in 3 weeks. By the time they get in to see you, it's going to be 2, 3, 4 weeks have gone by. So you got 2 months to do something. Usually, it's a surly woman who refuses a colposcopy. I love these women. Because if I was a woman, I wouldn't want a colposcopy. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't sound very nice. And actually, it can be it's very treatable by our standards. Because it's not precancer, it's toxic heat. Like, we stay within our vernacular. We treat toxic heat very well with what we have. And on top of it, just 60 days later, they're going to go in for another test. So I've developed this. Now, when I lecture at Emperor's, Christine says, I don't follow your protocol, I just do it the whole damn month. You're stupid, you stop, you don't, da 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 da, like that. I'm like, whatever, Christine, yeah. Have you ever had one fail? I've never had one fail. You know, it's really remarkable. It's a remarkable medicine because it has so much use just by changing its dilution level. It's so much you can do. If you understand, they use it in Albuquerque at a Western hospital for burn victims at 3%. So there's a Western hospital using it. Someone comes in with second, third degree burns. 3% to 5% is going on the water compress that's going right on the burns. Keeps them from getting infected. It's super gentle on the skin. You could use that on a baby rash like that. And then all of a sudden you're using it at 66.6% for something that seems untreatable where you're going to have to take a chunk of the cervix off.
And this was
2 to 1? 2 parts yin care, 1 part water. Yeah.
We're getting collagen.
Yeah. So like what I'm using in gynecological applications is anywhere from 2 parts to 1 all the way down to like 5 to 10%. And I'm gauging it. And most of the time it's 10%. Most of the time, because it's very safe there. I may decide, I don't have enough time to explain a case that I had of a pregnant woman, 7.5 months pregnant, green bloody discharge, no one would treat her. She was in Boulder, Colorado, and had seen everybody. And someone sent her to Denver to see me. And I was like, my God, this is going to go to jail. This baby's already damaged, you know, like all these other doctors had a whack at it, and the Western doctor wouldn't prescribe antibiotics. I made her sign a waiver, which would never hold up in court, and I just, but it seemed official at the time. I'm like, you got to sign this. And I really wanted to try to treat it, too. I was like, God, let me at this, you know. I gave her 5% in my office. Then, and if it burned her, I was just not going to do anything. If it was discomfort, because she was bleeding, I wasn't sure what kind of sores she had open. And so it was fine. She said it cooled her off a little bit. So I did 5, 7, then 10% in one day. Then the next day I did 15 three times. And then the day after that I did 10% twice a day for an entire 10 days. Completely cleared it up. Healthy baby delivery. Yeah, I was just like this. My confidence just went like off the... Thank you for listening. Appreciate your time.
Sorry, not at all.
My confidence was just so good. I was like, God, you know, that is a very tough case. No one would take that case. And I was a little afraid of after that. I'm like, this is safe stuff. At that dilution, you'll see when you dilute it down, you're like, how is this going to work at 10%, you know? And I only went up to 15. When I first brought this to the States, they didn't tell me how to use it. I think they thought I was full of shit, actually. Like, who's this guy from America? And thought I'd never be back. So I was just utilizing, like, for a standard yeast infection, like any kind of discharge, like 30-40%, and it was working like in 2 days. And I'm like, wow, this stuff's amazing. Then I get back, they're like, it's too high. You're hurting the women. I'm like, no one's hurt, everyone's fine. But you're gonna run it like every 15, 20 women, you might have someone who really is sensitive with their bacterial balance. You gotta watch out for that. So, okay, any more gynecology questions? How am I doing on time? I'm right on time. Okay, skin stuff. Now remember, and traditionally this was a skin remedy. This was a skin remedy. So just off the top, can you think of any kind of damp, heat, toxic heat thing that you could put this on top of?
Psoriasis.
Okay, psoriasis. I mean, the first things I think of...
Eczema.
Okay, these things are pretty good. Yeah, but psoriasis and eczemas always are complicated with internal stuff. Always. Acne, that's pretty good. Can be internal, but those can be external too. A bug bite, it's mad.
Poison
ivy, it kicks ass on poison oak. Because it's a complete external excess pathogenic factor from a plant. So we know it's like magic. You don't have to worry about any internal medicine, although you can prescribe it. When we get into eczemas and psoriasis, yeah. And then how are you going to apply it? I have eczema. Like, be very mindful when you're looking at the skin conditions. You see it really dry and cracky? Man, be careful with that one. There's a lot of yin deficiency there. This stuff is not for yin deficiency. Right, so you all of a sudden you're thinking as a clinician, I gotta lower the dosage of this stuff. I don't want to give them very much. And there's a product; it's a great accoutrement to using yin care and other topicals called Vanny Cream. Write it down. You can buy it at a drugstore, and it's what pharmacists use in huge 50-gallon drums to make hormone creams. Any type of topical cream where they're taking a drug and compounding it into a cream, they buy this stuff and they repackage it to sell at Rite Aid and Walgreens over the counter as a hypoallergenic cream. It's a compounding cream, just repackaged. And it's V-A-N-I-C-R-E-A-M. And I called the manufacturer years ago because I was at a lecture and one of my colleagues at the lecture was like, hey, we're mixing it with Vanny Cream. I'm like, what? Oh, it's awesome. Because everyone would say, can you make yin care cream? I'm like, no, because we went into manufacturing creams, but the problem was each patient needs a different percentage. So what are we going to do, like produce 5 different creams and they have shelf lives? I'd rather, the shelf life on this stuff, like we put 4 years, I have one that's 10 years old that we're still checking, it's fine. Like nothing grows in it. Like if it's undiluted, it stays. You could have a patient like, can I still use this 10 years later? Yeah, it's totally fine. But when we start cutting it into creams and stuff, wow, 2-year shelf life kind of thing, right? And then you're stuck with the percentage we choose. This Vanny Cream stuff, I do all sorts of combinations. I'll use, like, for some cases, I have, like, a light infection or this kind of eczema that's dry, I can use like 10% or 20% Yin Care, 50% Vani Cream, 10 or 20% aloe vera gel, like squirt it right in there, and maybe I'll pick some calendula or something really light and blend it in all together and make a cream just for the patient. So we'll compound creams in real time using different variables. There can be someone with a really aggressive open wound on the leg that's also ulcerating, and there's lots of black and purple. I do things like Dia Da Jiao. Yeah, you can take like Yin Care, 25%. Dia Da Jiao. Or even Zhonggu Shui, something that like breaks blood down and moves it, right? We make our own Dia Da Jiao at the Yao Clinic in Denver. And then the Vani Cream. And I've even taken like Huang Lian Su tablets. And you can get very, very creative and create remarkable topicals by having different dilutions of this Vani Cream with Yin Care and anything else your mind desires. I use a lot of, I always add aloe vera. I think that's a great plant that's very little talked about in Chinese medicine, but it grows all over here. And so it's nice to have that as something to add to it. So creams, all of a sudden topical, all sorts of types of creams you can do with this. Yeah.
So when you put the aloe vera, would you get the fresh aloe vera?
What I do is we don't have aloe vera fresh in where I live in Colorado, because once we hit winter it's kind of done, you know. But I get it from Aloe Life. It's a 99.9% like pure jelly. Very, very clean and very potent. And so, and I have glass jars of different sizes, and I'll just kind of go, you know, pump, 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 pump. And my intern will just mix it all up, and they're like, there you go, Mr. Smith, there's your topical. And there's an exit strategy. Anytime I'm giving a topical, there's an exit strategy. If we're treating eczema, damn it, we're changing his diet, he's on internal medicine. It's full Monty. We're not going to need the cream for very long. It's going to palliate and keep it from getting infected. So something, you know, like an infection, like staph infection. I've seen those. Like another pregnant woman who couldn't walk in. It was a clinic I was in about 10 years ago, and you had to walk down some stairs to get to the main room, the receptionist. And I get this call, this woman needs help, and she can't move because her legs are all swollen, you know, so she can only kind of walk like this. So her mom's helping her, and she has a skin thing, and they're not sure what it was. And I was like, oh, not a pregnant woman again. Danger, you know, like better be careful with these ones. And I'm looking at it, and I go to my dermatology book, and I'm checking it out. I'm like, that looks like staph, right? It looks just like the pictures of staph. So I thought, I got nothing to lose. I just took a Kleenex, which is a great way to compress Yin Care. Just take a Kleenex out of the box, fold it like 3 times, and then just squirt it on. I did full strength, just squirt it on. And then unfold it 2 times, and I just took one part of her leg where it was very swollen and glassy and with the swirls, those red swirls. And I just bunk, and I thought, if it bothers her, I'll take it off, rinse it off, and I'm not giving her internal medicine, I'm kind of done here. Let's see what this can do. Within 10 minutes, she's like, oh my God, yeah, it's much better, put it all over my blah, 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 blah. give me more. I'm like, oh, someone get some Kleenex over here, you know. And we just covered her whole legs and literally watched them shrink. So like, I've also had the pleasure of working on some, antibiotic resistant staph infection?
MRSA,
yeah. I just thought, okay, it's resistant to amoxicillin. Yincare seemed to handle it pretty good. You know, it must have been one of those trillion chemicals that came from 14 herbs and the essential. You know, which one was it? I don't know. But it was really handy in those cases. It actually was a very pedantic, simple case to treat.
What about toe fungus?
It's awesome on toe fungus. The problem with toe fungus is people are not patient enough to wait for their new toenail to grow out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you have to file... I'll get you in a second. You have to file the toenail. Like, it's dead. So file it off, because it's a barrier to get to the fungus, right? All I gotta do is put it on a piece of cotton every night and let it soak right into the bed. Now, what they used to do in America prior to the 50s was they'd take an iron and burn the skin right here, and the nail would fall off, and a new nail would grow back about 70% of the time. And 30% of the time, you wouldn't get a nail coming back.
Well, it's hair.
Yeah.
People don't realize it's hair. I got my finger smashed.
Yes.
And that sucker went up this big. My friend, the ER physician,
yes,
got a paper clip and lit it with a lighter.
Yeah.
And pierced a hole right through the nail so that all of that gunk could come out. It was the gnarliest thing to watch, but it worked.
That's awesome. So now we should all try this in clinic.
Hole, right?
But not at the Yosan clinic.
We don't do anything.
Yeah, yeah. But you've just filed the nail down and compress it like 5-6 days a week, it will go away.
But how many weeks?
Oh man, you know, everyone's toes and they grow at different rates. So I tell them, I'm like, look, how often do you clip your nails? Oh, you know, every once a month. I'm like, you grow back slow. It's going to be months before you see a fresh nail. But they'll see it coming in, the fresh one, you know. Especially when you file with an emery board down all the stuff, they can see it coming in. It's inevitable, but it's slow. Some people, faster, it's faster.
Yeah, because older patients we see in the clinic, they all have a lot of...
Yeah, well, this is a blood problem, too. You have to be mindful. Okay, someone over the age of 60, they're not moving blood to their extremities very well. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to... In almost all of these geriatric cases... When we're using any kind of external access medicine, we have to think in terms of chronicity and degeneration, and we must increase the quality of blood and mostly move blood. Their blood is so dark. Look under their tongue. You'll see ugly sublingual veins. Thick, dark, sickening. And you can move that stuff and circulate it to their hands while you're doing this topical. Not only are you going to help them with their nails, you're going to help them with umpteen other types of chronic diseases. About 80% of geriatric diseases are based on blood stasis. So leech. There's a wonderful doctor in Southern California who lectures for Evergreen sometimes. Wei-Yan Chang. Jimmy Chang. Jimmy Chang, yeah, he shared with me years ago some blood-regulating medications for this that include leeches. The use of shui zhi. My God, I use a lot of that because I see a lot of old people. Yeah, so check him out. Check him out. Check out his lectures. You know, he's a wonderful physician. He's a treasure, actually. We have a lot of treasures in Southern California. Jimmy Chang.
How do you spell the other guy?
Which guy?
Oh, I thought you said there was another person other than Jimmy. No,
same guy. Yeah, his real name is Wei-Yan Chang. But he just goes by Jimmy, man. Just call me Jimmy. Yeah.
So did you combine the Yunnan Baiyao with the Yin Care?
I have used Yunnan Baiyao topically, but you only need it really for a short time if I'm wanting to stop bleeding. It's kind of what Yunnan Baiyao is good for, regulating blood and stop bleeding. You can mix anything with Yin Care in your topical stuff. Anything. Mm-hmm. Sky's the limit. And I, you know, think outside the box. Like, okay, instructions on this bottle. Listen to this. That's Spanish. Use recommended concentration of Yin Care 5 to 100%, mixed with water at the direction of your healthcare professional. Apply to body. Okay, it says nothing. On purpose. On purpose. Like, I want you to tell them how to use it.
So this is 100%, right?
Full. Yeah.
Full surgery.
That's the super
and
duper.
What you're saying, the most effective dose for most people is 10%.
Right? Gynecologically speaking. And then we're going on the skin. You have flexibility. If I'm going on to an external excess like a poison oak, a spider bite, sunburn, it's crazy good on a sunburn. I couldn't believe it. I didn't believe it. I didn't actually experience it. Other people did it. And they were just like, how are we doing on time? So? Right on the edge? Okay. And so I was like, a sunburn? No, it doesn't come to my mind. They're like, well, we just did it. It totally worked. I was like, oh, external excess heat. Yeah. Okay, yeah, it's good for that. You know, the end of the, yeah,
you
first.
Like scabies and STDs.
You can. Boy, those STDs can be pretty tricky. You know, they can be very, very tricky. But they do use it. It's used a lot that way. I have a neat story about it, actually. I was at the main factory in the southern part of Chengdu, in the technology zone where it was at before it moved. And I was in the area where they were handling marketing. And they were looking at sales. Because when you get into the millions of sales, like, you're really watching things. So Beijing, sales were down for like 3 weeks. Like, a lot of sales were down. I was kind of trying to follow. I was walked into a meeting that I wasn't supposed to be in. And they're like, oh, sales are really down. And then someone says in Chinese, don't worry, there's dignitaries from Europe that are in town. So prostitution is all cracked down for 3 weeks. 3 weeks later, we'll have triple sales. It will even out. Because they use it before every job, before and after every job. I was like, what? It's like, that's actually a pretty good, that's a very good idea. You know, if that was my profession, that would be something you could use because you could get it just. It's not my profession. What's that?
Does it get for Ebola?
I have no clue about that Ebola. I'm not too afraid of that Ebola thing.
Tapeworm and like things like that.
Parasitic infection. I have seen some neat things with, not with, with, You can use it on those sorts of things. There was a bot fly, a case of bot fly in Toronto. Do you know what those things are? Mm-hmm. Like, you get them in Puerto Rico, and like a fly drops a larva in your skin, and then it grows into a massive worm. And there was this very, Dr. David, he's a lecturer up there, very famous doctor in Canada. Anyhow, he wrote this story and he called me to tell me about it. He found a case where the woman had edema on one side of her head. He's like, he couldn't figure it out. Then he was doing the history and found out she was in Puerto Rico, right? So Canadians don't know about this stuff because they're in cold weather. He said, oh my God, there are a lot of flies down there. And he said, I've read a story once about this bot fly that leaves a larva. So he went up into her hairline where like the lymphatic areas go. And he saw these bumps, right? Because they bury in and then they grow and then they block. They get so big. He got, it's kind of gross, but it totally worked. He got Yin Care on a compress, put it on where he thought the bot fly was at, right? And then waxed it over. He said the wax was pushing out. It wanted to get out of its hole. And it came out and he grabbed it with a forceps. Freaking alien stuff. I was like, what? He's like, you got to publish this article. I'm like, I don't know, dude. That's pretty rad. We don't get a lot of bot flies in Chinese medical colleges.
How do you spell that?
B-O-T-T. You can go on Google and look it up. Bot fly. So what I'm saying is parasites don't like this stuff. They don't like it. Didn't kill him, but it really irritated him enough to like get him out. Yeah, ringworm, though, we have used it very effectively on ringworm. Again, make sure you leave your email so I can email you the PDF of those. It has more detail about all those things, yeah.
Can you tell us all the dilutions for like the different kinds?
Yeah, it has a whole dilution breakdown, and it gives you variables.
What about
yeah, there's some good ones on there.
What about the oral care stuff?
Oh, oral care, if you just stop me if I'm going to, okay? Just say stop and we're done. The oral care is basically, it came about because there were some guys like little in their Oompa Loompa suits working in a clean room where the medicine comes out of a pipe, just the water extracted parts before it goes into a cooling tank, and then they have essential oils captured separately, right? Well, they were taking off, they take batch samples out for testing to make sure in that batch they met their criteria for certain chemicals. Well, they were washing their mouth out with it, and it was very effective. I don't know if those guys got to keep their job or not. But the company in the 90s were like, we should probably make an oral version of this. That really was helpful for the gums. So I never thought to bring it over. I just thought, well, you know, we don't really do a lot of oral stuff. But my colleague, Dr. Kayler Wadlington, he's a really good doctor of 30 years, Chinese medicine. And he was really, he's kind of freaky about his teeth. So I'd always bring it back for him to use. And finally, we thought, well, let's bring it over. And what it is and I brought, oh, by the way, I have samples for everyone of the Yin Care for free, of the oral care you can take home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about that?
They took the formula and they removed Tu Jing Pi, which is an antiparasitic, right? It's kind of strong. And Tang Ju, they removed those two herbs, added glycerin, more mint, and stevia, which is, actually grows in China. It's an antibiotic or a leaf.
But you know how they say that you shouldn't use things like glycerin, even if it's like a pure thing that squamous epithelium that changes so radically that it can cause cancer? Is there any of that with this?
Yeah, no, what the same thing with the vaginal mucosa comes into effect. Now this stuff, this oral care stuff is pre-diluted to 10%. So you, as a physician, you don't have the option because there are propriobacteria that live in the mouth. And so at that pre-diluted rate, it's very gentle in the mouth, and there's no problem. I actually wasn't really my bag, but I was at the in Austin, Texas, the Southwest Symposium, maybe like 8 years ago, 7 years ago. There was a Chinese doctor. I was rapping with her at the desk, and she said, we were just brought this over. She said, oh, I have gum disease. My practice is in Pennsylvania. I have a periodontal gum disease, and I get my teeth cleaned every 3 months by the University of Pennsylvania because I bleed so bad I could bleed out. Ooh. I was like, okay, it's called stomach heat. Like, have you considered? You know, you can treat that with what you do for a living. I'm just saying. But I will give you some free of this. I'm totally curious what it will do for you. So I gave her enough for like a month and a half, and then she called and got another month and a half, went back. I didn't hear from her. I get a call from the University of Pennsylvania. And it was a Russian doctor there. And she's like, who are you guys? I'm like, what are you talking about? She said, I just saw a patient. We've been seeing her for 9 years, 9 months is the first time she didn't bleed. her gums are like fixing, and they're almost gone, like no bleeding. I was like, wow, you know, it's like $20 retail. Maybe you guys should carry it, you know? And so I was super stoked on this after that. I'm really, very, really happy with it. So it's neat stuff. I would usually tell patients who aren't maybe good at brushing, like, if you don't floss all the time, get in there and floss. And usually when you floss after a while, you start to bleed a little bit. Use this stuff right after. It's the glycerin holds the medicine into the pockets. You can start to build those pockets out by opening them up with floss. And before you know it, they're flossing and their gums start to build back out. I think it would be really nice also for some people that have degenerative gum stuff, the addition of Ruxiang, right? Mm-hmm. Frankincense is known to, and Moyao, yeah. Ruxiang, Moyao, frankincense, and myrrh. And I have actually done 5-to-1 extracts in here to see if that would add an extra.
What about coenzyme 10?
What?
Coenzyme 10,
COQ10. Yeah, it's totally, yeah, exactly. Layer that stuff on top of it. It's really good. Yes. Totally. Yeah, I got that question a long time ago from people in Chelsea, New York. There's a lot of gay fellas live there, and they wanted to know if they could use it. And they've been using it like that for about 12 years. I haven't had a reason to prescribe it that way myself. It's toxicity. Like, you could drink the stuff. It takes a lot of it before you get sick. You know what I mean? It's pretty gentle. It's just the water-extracted herbs. You can.
What do you think? What's the diluted?
It tastes like shit, though.
To the whole,
oh, say that again?
The enema.
Depends on what I was trying to do. If I was just doing a general thing, I'd keep it at 10. But if I was wanting to go into the sigmoid colon or deal with any type of, I'm giving them internal medicine for some type of like ulceration or something like that, which those are blood stasises, I might jump it up to 25. Yeah, something like that. Whatever absorbs into their bloodstream is going to be fine. It's going to be totally fine.
Is it good for lice?
Yeah, I haven't had the pleasure to use it on lice. I did have a colleague recently that was going to try, and I just said, well, just shave the kid's head. It's a guarantee. You don't need any product for that. And the boy actually grabbed the razor and shaved his head off.
Second question.
It was her son.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I'm done, you know? Yeah.
Would you ever use it
100%? All the time.
What would you use? What's the best
thing? The stronger the external excess pathology. Mm-hmm. That sunburn thing, like just think like external excess, full concentration. Because you're matching, what you're doing is you're matching the pathology with the treatment. That's all you're doing. You're just matching them up. And when you're dealing with deficiencies, you got to really cut it way down low because you're just wanting, like the burn victim. My God, you know, I had I'll get your question in just a second. There was a woman with a baby rash and I told her 5%. And this is way before the Vanny Cream thing came about. And I get a call, and she's like, oh my God, the rash is all over, and it's been, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I'm all, what did you do? She's like, I've been putting it on. What, full dose? Like, I'm all, that's 20 times my dose. If I said 2 Advil, would you take 40? That's what you just did with the InCare. You just used 20 times my prescribed recommended dose. 5% would have been fine on that boy. Little baby rash, big deal, you know?
So yeah. You're saying that the full dose made it worse?
Totally. Like that, aha, full strength like that, you are going to vent the hell out of that rash and irritate everything. It is so strong. We're treating a toxic heat condition with 66.6%. And I only say 66.6 because on that handout or those articles that we translated into English, there was one group using 50 and one group using 60. And they didn't find any difference between using 100 and 50, 166. Like the outcome was the same. So you get a lot more out of a bottle if you cut it to 66.6%. So it's economical. There's no need to go any higher than that. Although, like, it's easy. Like, if I have a sty and I just want to hit that or a pimple, just one pimple, you know, because I've been getting nervous tics and I'm touching myself and I get, like, I have one right here right now, actually. I could nail that, like, before I go to bed tonight and then check it in the morning, it'll be half gone.
Yeah. What, do you use distilled water or just purified water?
I just use Colorado water.
Well, I guess we
down here, I'm not sure. Ours is real clean before it gets here. Hardly anyone lives there. It's a cool place to live.
Yeah. So just to clarify, only for topical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not for taking. Could you do it? Yeah, I mean, like the toxicology studies. Like I said, I think I did. They figured out how much to give a rat before it was toxic, and it ended up being like about a gallon. A human doing about a gallon. I was like, phew, you're going to be pooping like a goose if you drink a gallon of that stuff.
This is a weird question,
yeah.
But what about for ear infections?
Totally, directly, right in the ear. Mm-hmm. Animal or child. If that ear infection is really an infection, it is magic. Just put it, I don't even charge them for it. I have an open bottle in the office, and the baby comes in, and I'm just like, drop, drop, drop. And I put some in like a little sterile container with a dropper thing for them to take home and charge them for an office visit, like a consult. I'm very, very kind about that part. 1, 2, 3, roll it around, 100%. Yeah, because it's an infection. It's a heat, so you can go for it.
How can you use on ants?
Huh?
Ants, I mean, animals.
Oh, yeah. We used to have a version just for veterinarians, but I stopped producing it, and I just said, you guys, just buy this one. they said, we want one with a horse and a dog, and I was like, so I did it, and I was like, this is dumb. Look, just buy the one the humans use and just sell it the same. But they like to up their price. Vets will triple, they'll sell this for $80 instead of whatever it's worth, $45 or whatever it is, because it's a vet remedy. It said, Yin Care Vet and Pet. Now I just don't acquiesce to them, I just say.
And they use for what, spraying?
Well, they use it like horses. The horses in Kentucky get all sorts of rot on their legs. They use it, oh my God, it's very popular on racetracks in Florida, greyhounds, because they... dogs come from other parts of the world to race in Florida. I just learned all this from people calling me and asking me for help. There was a dog that got a split web, right? They get an infection. So it came from Ireland and to the heat of Florida, developed a split web, was not going to run in like the Kentucky Derby of greyhound stuff, whatever. It's like, they have that? And so someone said, one of the trainers called and said, could we use this on a split web? And I was like, yeah, totally, like go to town. Within 3 days, the dog won the Kentucky Derby of, I was like, too bad we can't market that. That would have been a really good story. Like Seabiscuit.
I was thinking about parasites, you can spray it on the dog.
Yeah, totally. They call like, what do they call it? They get dry patches that are very itchy and they go for it. Just, and it doesn't matter if they lick it, it's totally fine. Yeah, it's totally fine. I would always use it on a non-healing ulcer, only for the part that I want to keep it from getting infected. So I would create a topical. Non-healing ulcers are usually blood stasis with heat, right, and dampness. So I'm coming internal and external, and Yin Care is always part of that protocol. So I probably wouldn't use Vanny Cream on that because it's too yucky. I would make direct compresses, and I would. This would be a very good case, and I have wonderful pictures of people post-surgical where they just don't heal. In terrible places like above the Achilles and stuff like that, where we'll use flesh. I have a medicine made for my office that's from frankincense in India. That's sesame oil with frankincense spun into it. It's great for growing skin. It's a skin regenerator. So astragalus, huangqi, and ruxiang are great for regrowing skin. So I'll do this thing where I'm growing skin and then I'm putting an antipathological with blood regulation in there, and I'll just go back and forth all day. And we'll just see like the color, the darkening color starts to go away. And then are they getting blood down there? Internal medicine to, what is that? Shen Tong Ju Yu Tang, Shen Tang Ju Yu Tang with other medicines. San Leng E Zhu, Mo Yao, Ru Xiang. You can, depending on their condition, and you can come inside, outside, and double outside, growing, killing, regulating. You can do it.
So like even if someone has like this huge like kind of like,
oh yeah, let me add it. I love those. Those are, you're a hero. No one can do anything for those people. Yeah. We can do so much. Our medicine's the best. Our medicine's so good for these types of problems. We suck at acute care. You know what I mean? Like someone got hit by a bus. we're not very good at that. But all this other stuff that Western medicine has nothing for that. Nothing. We excel, and just think like all the tools you're learning here, break it down like it's land, like what's the weather there and how are things moving, and understand it and then apply your therapy. And that's the most fun in our job, is being able to see the way through the tall grass for these people. And this is a good tool for that. Is it good for everything? No, it's good for what it does. Yeah. Okay, I think I covered everything as best I could. I'm sorry if I missed some stuff. Thank you guys for coming. All right.
Write down the info at yincare.com.
Right.
If you have questions, best to send it on the email as opposed to the phone. It's
much easier
for us to answer.
So you should give it its info at Yincare, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the emails?
Yeah,
and just if you have a dosing question or things, just be patient.
That's actually a very good way to get.
Yeah, did everyone sign?
Oh, the email thing?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Great. Okay. This.
Great. You're welcome. It's a pleasure.